The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, a flatlining economy, unmanned borders, and industrial scale production of cheap narcotics against the backdrop of the war in Syria has conspired to make that country now a narco state. To get a handle on what's happening there, I'm joined by Middle East editor for The Guardian, Martin Chulov. Martin, good morning.
Good morning to you, Pat.
Now, you might bring us up to date on the state of the civil war, because it's probably ongoing, but we're not seeing it on our front pages anymore.
No, we're not. There's been a deep fatigue which has crept into the Syria conflict. It must be said, it continues at a lower energy. We're not seeing the dramatic scenes that we saw circa 2012 right through to 2019. But it does remain a country that is broken and unreconciled. We have at least half of Syria's pre-war population living away from their homes, whether they be internally displaced or across the border. The northwest of the country is still very volatile. There are frequent airstrikes from the Russians. Part of that territory is run by jihadists. And the Syrian regime itself is very much struggling to reassemble the country's economy, which is broken. And there are not too many means of generating revenue in Syria in 2021.
Now, one of the successful industrial efforts seems to be the creation of a chemical called Captagon. What is Captagon?
Well, Captagon is a basic stimulant. It was used in pharmacies or pharmaceutically up until the 60s in many countries and beyond that in this part of the Middle East. But it has been used as a stimulant on the battlefield. It has been sent right around the region as a relatively cheap drug to produce and to export, and it is in very high demand. And the Syrian regime, its backers, some untouchable families across the border in Lebanon and even beyond that, have sized up the fact that this could be something which could add to the bottom line of, as you say, flatlining economies. It's something which has really been picked up and run with by the Syrian state and its officials and by families across the border and political parties in Lebanon.
Now, was Captagon used recreationally widely across the Middle East, or was it only its application on the battlefield that has made it subsequently popular?
It's the recreational use which is driving the demand. During the years of the Islamic State, that terror organization did source as much Captagon as it could. Many of the other militias fighting across the Middle East are using Captagon as well, and whether it be in Yemen or Syria, or sometimes in Saudi Arabia and Lebanon itself. But the battlefield use is quite secondary. The recreational use, particularly in Saudi Arabia and the Gulf, has been going through the roof in the last 2 years, and therefore the demand for it.
Now, how is it that Syria has become a centre for industrial production of this, illegal industrial production, I'm sure? What is it about Syria? Is it simply that so much of that country is no man's land, where it's not safe for security forces to travel, that has made production safe and possible for these families?
Well, I think to the contrary, the production has been run by the apparatus of the state itself. It's hiding in plain sight. The production laboratories for Captagon are in the key areas of the Syrian regime, the Alawite heartland of Latakia and its nearby areas, Damascus, the border with Lebanon, a town called Qusair. There's cover from Iran, which is providing a lot of militia support. And there's also suggestions that Hezbollah, the very powerful militia cum political bloc in Lebanon, is at least aware of what's going on and may well be even sanctioning or facilitating the exportation of Captagon outside of the region.
Now, normally, to try to gauge how much of something is being produced in Colombia or going into the United States via Mexico, whatever it might be, it's normally by the number of seizures of the drug, whether it's cocaine or hashish, whatever it might be. That's how you judge how active the trade is or how big the production. How do we know how big Syria is in this particular commodity?
It's the same methodology. There have been a lot of seizures over the last 2 years in particular. There have been seizures in Egypt and in Bahrain and in Jordan and Turkey, Romania, and other parts of Europe. And there was a very substantial seizure in the Italian port of Salerno in the middle of 2020. Initially, the Italians thought that those drugs or that Captagon had come from the Islamic State in Syria, and they did wrongly attribute the haul that they captured to ISIS militants. They corrected themselves last December and said they could establish as a fact that the Captagon had instead come from the port of Latakia, which is a regime-controlled port on the Mediterranean coast, and the Captagon had been put into large paper rolls, which had been exported from a printing press in the regime city of Aleppo. So the causality, the link, is very clear. The amount of seizures, in that case, we were talking about 1 billion euros worth of Captagon. There are frequently 5 or 6 tons being found, whether it be in Port Said in Egypt or other places in Europe. And I think people are deducing that if that much has been intercepted, how much is actually getting through? And they anticipate that roughly 90% of the Captagon, which is being produced in Syria, is actually making its way to market.
We know the effect that any country becoming effectively a narco state, it can undermine much of civil society. To what extent is that happening in Syria, and is it likely to also happen in Lebanon?
Well, in Lebanon itself, which is going through a similar economic collapse to what is taking place in Syria, there isn't a great deal of use of Captagon here. But the very fact that powerful tribes, that political actors, that businessmen can so readily subvert the institutions of state at will certainly doesn't reflect well in the country. And it is showing that the border between Lebanon and Syria remains utterly porous, that the state has very limited control. And these elements are a green light to others who may want to do something similarly nefarious, whether it be hashish or other drugs or other forms of money laundering, basically have a free rein to do so. That's the message that's been sent in both countries, that if you establish the right sort of patronage, you can get things like this done.
Now, you mentioned Saudi Arabia as a market for Captagon. Tell me about Prince Abdul Mohsen bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud, the Al Saud bit suggesting he's at least a minor member of the royal family from Saudi Arabia.
Absolutely. He was a Saudi prince, a mid-level prince. He made his way to Beirut in October 2015 and on a private jet. And he was caught with 2 tons of Captagon pills in his luggage heading home. The feeling is that he was set up, that the airport is controlled by Hezbollah here. They have total visibility over what goes on. He was arrested. He was brought into Beirut, into the Hamra district, and he was given an apartment on the top of a police station in the middle of Hamra for the next 5.5 years until a deal could be worked out whereby he could be released and sent home. And that deal did involve a substantial amount of money being paid by the House of Saud.
So they set him up and then they ransomed him. Simple as that.
Simple as that. Yes, that's what happened.
Is there any evidence that the families who control all of this trade in Syria and indeed in Lebanon have themselves been contaminated by Captagon use?
I think those doing the selling here have a pretty strict discipline when it comes to not using the product. There doesn't seem to be a lot of evidence of those in Syria in particular diverting too many of the proceeds for their own use. I think most of what is being produced is making its way to market. And we haven't heard anything either anecdotally or even anything more informed to suggest that within Syria itself or within the families that are driving this trade, that the drug has actually taken hold in an addictive sense.
Finally, I should ask you about the international attitude to what's going on in Syria. Obviously, there are countries who might find themselves as marketplaces for this stuff who may be worried about the effect on their populations. But, I mean, the Russians, the Americans, the Israelis, what's their attitude? Is it simply let them at it, let them destroy themselves?
For the moment, it seems to be all about interdiction. The fact that a lot of these intercepts have been made in Europe over the last 2 years really has changed the focus. The Europeans are now more engaged with what's coming out of Latakia and to some extent Tartus. it hasn't really got the attention of the new American administration or the Israelis, who aren't a market for Captagon from Syria. Regionally, though, the Saudis and others are looking very hard to intercept or to stop this trade. A lot of the Captagon that's made its way to Saudi Arabia has been hidden in fruits, which have actually been sold under the name of Lebanese agriculture. They're actually fruits that have been brought across the border and given a Lebanese branding and sent onwards. But regardless, Lebanon's paying the price for this, because a country that simply cannot afford, it's one of its very few export markets, to be shut down, has been told by the Saudis that Lebanese exports aren't welcome into Saudi Arabia until you can fix this drug problem.
Yet another twist in the tale of the Syrian civil war. Martin Chuloff, Middle East editor for The Guardian, thank you very much for joining us.
You're very welcome.